Everybody across the land, here's a special from Sequel Cast, though I don't know what it's gonna be about. Maybe Woody Allen, maybe Spike Lee.
Welcome to the Sequel Cast Special. The Sequel Cast Special is a podcast that looks at movie topics at large. This one, we're going to cover a contentious area in the Sequel Cast history.
Yes.
From 2011, where not only for a little while, I'm Matt, with me is Thrasher.
Hello.
Our theme song is written and performed by Mark with a C. You can check out his music at markwithac.com. Starting in January 2011, the Sequel Cast podcast
changed.
In January, the episodes, aside from being available on the podcast feed, you could listen to live streaming on Cascadia.fm. At the end of June 2011, I did the show in a studio with, instead of Thrasher as a host, Sabrina, and the founder of Cascadia FM, Robert Wagner, was a guest for a show. I get a lot of emails from listeners asking, what the hell happened? And I've kind of touched on it briefly, and they're like, why are you so cagey about it? But I think enough time has passed where I can talk about it. I'm not in this to bash anyone. I just want to say what happens, what happened, because I get asked about it all the time. And I think
yes,
it's fair.
We are finally going to have an open and honest accounting of that interesting period in the Sequel Cast's history.
Yeah, listener Stephen Jones says, tell us everything, dish the dirt. And I responded with, dirt, prepare to meet thy dish.
Dish the dirt, sling the poop, toss the hash.
That's what Bilbo Baggins breaks.
Stash. Okay.
So, Thrasher, I mean, you'll be leading this one. Just ask questions you wanted to know about that that period.
Well, before we get into that, I do kind of want to take a moment to kind of give my perspective. Because when this all happened...
Sure.
I got a message from Matt informing me about, you know, the requirements at Cascadia FM, and that for the next stage of the podcast life, you know, a podcast we had all enjoyed doing, it would be recorded live with a co-host in a studio, and that myself and Jersey Jason were no longer needed as co-hosts.
And BJ.
And BJ, yes.
Yep.
And as much as I love doing the Sequel Cast, I love the Sequel Cast enough that I wanted to do what's best with it, you know. So I, with a tragicomic sigh, I backed away from the show, and you know, I wished the show and Matt well as it moved on to Cascadia FM, and I still listen to it every single week. I didn't miss any of the episodes in this period, which I came to refer to as the interregnum, the period where Sequel Cast was on Cascadia FM and which I wasn't directly involved with it. And it was, and I got to say, the show was very different during
yes,
this period.
Sure.
Not bad, but the banter between you and your co-host Sabrina, you know, I didn't feel it popped. It wasn't kind of freewheeling. Mm. It didn't have that camaraderie that you, me, Jason, and BJ had kind of built up over all those years of collaborating, starting in college and beyond.
In 2002, yeah. Well, I mean, before we get into that part, I just want to back up for a second. Mm-hmm. Before we ask you questions, do you have your thought to finish?
Well, no, just that, you know, it was a... It was an interesting period. I was sad to not be on the show anymore, but I was glad the show was still continuing, and I certainly wanted it to lead to bigger and better things. But I was also so thrilled when this period ended and you had me back on the show again, because
right.
I do absolutely love doing the Sequel Cast.
Well, thank you. No, and I love doing that and all the other shows on the Sequel Cast Network. Check them out at sequelcast.com. Yeah, but I think before that, you know, to kind of establish a chronology before I moved into doing the show in the studio with Sabrina for a that summer, basically, of 2011, I was looking to make the sequel cast part of another podcast network. Because once you get a certain amount of listeners by yourself, it just seems to taper off. Or that's what I've found, anyway, in my podcast history since... I've been podcasting since 2005, right? Doing different stuff, so...
The Slycast and...
Slycast, Worst Movie Cast, I think. Super Koopa Troopa show, video game music, yeah, that stuff. And I was looking around and found this thing, Cascadia.fm, that used to be called PDX.fm. And I thought, well, this is really interesting. They do podcasts, but they don't want to call themselves podcasts for whatever reason. Because they broadcast 24/7 live, more or less, from their studio. And it was local to Portland, Oregon, which is where I live. And I thought, this could be a real opportunity. And so there was some negotiation back and forth. And I like to say, you know, I never got paid for having it on Cascadia FM, nor did I necessarily expect that.
May I jump in with a question here?
Yes.
Did they imply, suggest, or outright state that you could earn money?
No, but I would say that's a motivating factor. They had advertising on all their shows, in between the shows and everything, and as part of that network, I maybe somehow thought maybe I'd get a cut of that. But that was never said. In fact, they told me if I received advertising, if I had a sponsor on the sequel cast, like let's say Amazon or something, and I got money from that, they would get 50%.
Huh.
It was like, okay. Anyway, so at that
that's
time...
That's something you can negotiate over.
Yeah. At the time, starting in January 2011, it might have been with Karate Kid. I don't quite recall what it was. No, well, Ninja Turtles maybe. I don't... Whatever it was, for every time I did a normal episode, I also had to spend time editing an episode that was between 54 and 56 minutes to air on Cascadia.fm. Because they had their requirements. This was a pain in the ass. I like editing, but it's very time-consuming. I work a full-time job, an office job, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just got married at the time, so you get there's lifestyle changes with that sort of thing. And we just got a dog. It was all this stuff all at the same time. It was a lot. So for a while, but the idea of recording in the studio, I remembered how much fun I had recording... our radio shows at Savannah College Art and Design at SCAD.
Those were great days.
And so I thought, I was just very tempted by the opportunity. Why not try it again? Even though it would involve throwing you and Jason and BJ kind of blindsided under the bus, I guess. You know.
It came as a surprise to me, but that's only because you really hadn't built up to it. You hadn't mentioned that it was a possibility for the future. It did come as a surprise to me. But as I said, it wasn't necessarily an unpleasant surprise. I wanted what was best for the show.
Sure, no, and everyone was gracious about that. But now that I set that up, so what led to me being in the studio recording with Sabrina? And for the record, I did try and get. I reached out to Sabrina. I reached out to Robert Wagner, and Robert Wagner's was the founder of Cascadia.fm, if they wanted to be on the show, and they both declined. Actually, Robert was very gracious, but he said, I'd rather not talk about that. I have a book coming out about Cascadia.fm, PDX.fm, called Fantastic Disaster or something like that, coming out later this year, later in, sometime in 2013, so look forward to that. So maybe I'll be get mentioned in the book. I don't know. That'd be interesting. And then Sabrina Miller, who I hosted the show with, never even wrote back to me.
Huh.
And even though I hosted 12 shows with her.
Well, I certainly had nothing to do with that.
Oh, no. I know. I just found that sort of... To be fair, I reached out to get their input or for a statement, and that's what I got. With me interrupting you for that big tangent, Thrasher, ask away.
Okay.
Ask your
well,
question.
I guess first and foremost, just to sate my petty curiosity, how far in advance did you know that this was a very distinct possibility that you'd be moving to Cascadia and that the format of the show and the host would be changing?
Those are a lot of separate questions. Can you start from the first part of that question? How far in advance did I know? That was your question, right?
Yes.
I was interested in that. I, probably as far back as January, I guess, when our show started airing, but there's very little movement. It was always like, we're very interested, we'll think about it, and then just utter silence whenever I try to follow up on it. So once they wanted to move things forward, that kind of all came at once, where it's like, we need you in the studio next week. So the possibility, I knew for a while, but that it actually, when the gear started to move, I thought it was going to be more of a gradual reveal. Instead, it was sort of slam, bam, thank you, ma'am.
How was the working atmosphere there? You know, was it kind of a throwback to the college radio days?
Right. Okay. So I was naive. I said studio. I read studio. I thought, ooh, real studio. The equipment was actually very nice, you know. But you're sitting in office chairs around a rickety like Walmart picnic table in someone's apartment with like three cats crawling around everywhere. But the microphone, the quality of the microphones and the headphones and stuff was top-notch. On top of that, you might be wondering, well, why was Sabrina the host? I did not know who the host was going to be until less than half a week before I did the show.
Was she just the first person to respond with a yes, or was she kind of assigned to you?
So she, you know, I don't think she was like a founder. She was always involved with Cascadia.fm. I think she had maybe four or five shows going on when she decided to host the sequel cast with me on there. So she was very, very busy. And podcasting was all she did full time. I'm not sure if she made any money from it. That's none of my business, really. I would hope so. But she did that full time, right? So by the time, I think the last thing in a way she needed was another show to do. I mean, I knew her from my wife and my friends, we would all go out to do trivia once a week, and she was the host of trivia. That was a job she did on the side, apart from hosting all the podcast on Cascadia.fm. But other than a few hello, how do you do's, the first time we really had a lengthy conversation was that first Mad Max episode.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And actually, before we continue on that, I would just like to go over what was covered with during the interregnum. You covered the Mad Max trilogy. You covered the Basic Instinct series, the RoboCop trilogy, the Bourne movies, all the ones that had been released up to that point. But then you also did three specials. You did video game movies, a special on the making of the sequel cast, and the Star Wars episode, which spent a lot of time talking about the Star Wars Blu-ray release.
Right, with the redubbing of the Darth Vader's voice and scenes in Return of the Jedi and that sort of stuff. Yep. Right.
Yep.
Also, I mean, you know, I walked in the elevator with Sabrina to her apartment to do that first show. And she's like, oh, by the way, do you have a theme song for the show and music to outro? And, like, I didn't know I needed this crap. I'm like, what? And, like, she had, like, source music she used originally. And then from then on, I would email her the specific music files and movie clips I wanted to use.
Well, you kind of had our old theme song, but I guess that was.
I wanted to do something. You know, I wanted a clean, I knew whatever Cascadia FM sequel cast was going to be, it was going to be a bit different. And in the style of a Japanese theme song, anime, when it goes to a new season, often the theme song changes.
Through the valley of our youth, we reach the fire.
We're covering movies on sequel cast. We're covering movies. Yeah, my voice is cracking. But I think what I ended up doing for the theme song when it was on Cascadia.fm is I redubbed the song Safety Dance. So
maybe we can put a smidgen of that as an insert clip in this episode.
I can do a drop, yeah. But
sequel cast.
I'll fully admit that first Mad Max episode, I didn't have notes. I wasn't prepared because I don't do notes when you do it over the computer. But there, you know, I didn't have a computer I could use. And when you're face to face, you don't have that delay that Skype gives you. You have to be a lot more on the ball.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying we're lazy doing the show on Skype, but that it's a whole different animal.
Well, we live in two different states. So
on two different coasts. Well, you know, Kentucky's not on a coast, is it? I guess not.
No, but it is on a river.
On two different rivers, that's accurate. Portland's off the Willamette River. Continue your line of questioning.
Chancellor!
Ooh.
The vote of no confidence against the Trade Federation. Well, actually, it's something that I think kind of one of the most sort of, because I could tell the difference right off the bat with that first Mad Max
episode. What was the difference that you noticed?
It really felt like a test. The whole episode really felt like a test.
Oh, it was.
You know, you guys kind of didn't know each other's rhythms, so you were both. It seemed like you were both each having a completely different conversation about the film. It was just rickety starting out. Although you and Sabrina did find a kind of rhythm and did find a footing as the Mad Max trilogy progressed. But one thing that I guess the one part of the interregnum period of sequel cast that did kind of break my heart is when you and Sabrina covered the RoboCop trilogy, because I had been advocating to RoboCop, you know, since I came on the show with Smokey and the Bandit 2. And if we ever revisited a series, I really wanted to be RoboCop. I just have so much to say about those movies, and those movies were such an important part of my childhood.
I think we can probably figure a way to do RoboCop again. I'm not sure how we'd, I guess you just would number them as something else and you call it the, it's like the next generation, right?
Oh yeah. Or RoboCop reads you. But I mean, how did you and Sabrina go about deciding what franchises you were going to cover? Does it differ from what we do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what we do, I think we've been getting better about planning a bit more in advance, just so we know what we're doing with your convention schedule and my vacation schedule and all that. And it makes it easier to get guests too. Although we do less of that than we used to, just, for convenience sake, I guess. That being said, Sabrina wanted to do shorter franchises of films. It was often decided at the last second.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy doing the show with her, but at the same time, it felt like it was a burden that she was doing it. She was already hosting a lot of shows at the time, like 3 or 4 other shows, one of which was a show she did 5 days a week with Robert Wagner.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, she was a busy, busy podcaster at the time.
Well, how would you describe your working relationship with her?
I don't want to say it was testy. Maybe it was testy in that first episode. It got better as we knew each other more. I think part of it is, and this is just my perspective, I could be wrong on this, I felt we're both sort of soft-spoken people. We're not like It was like the show was hosted by 2 second bananas, and I mean that in the best possible way.
So like if Robin, the Tim Drake Robin and Speedy were both the main characters.
Yeah, instead of like, hello, welcome to the sequel cast, we're doing this, and this. It's like, this movie was pretty good. Yeah, it was. How about that acting?
Yeah.
How about it?
Well, that was something that I also noticed going through the interregnum, was that the sequel cast was a lot more mellow and a lot less jokey.
Right. It was more... I mean, part of that is I felt like to have tons of stuff to talk about. I would spend a lot of time, a few hours each week, making like 4 pages of typed notes, divided into plot synopses and characters and trivia and box office statistics, because it felt like I'd have all this stuff to go to fill in for time. Because while Sabrina liked movies, I don't know if she'd had that much experience having long conversations about them.
Well, I mean, that's a question. She liked movies, but does she have a passion for film in some form?
I'm not sure. She certainly has a passion for theater. She's been involved in a lot of theater production, I think helping out with costuming or something.
Okay, so people have asked for dirt. Let's get to some dirt. What is your worst Cascadia FM experience?
Probably how it all ended.
Well, let's go into that then.
Okay, we can hop around. We got to
make
this last
because that was a big thing, because like just as...
Yeah.
Because the notice that I wasn't going to be on the sequel cast kind of came out of nowhere, the notice that I was going to be on the sequel cast, or at least the sequel cast had left Cascadia FM, had kind of came to me out of nowhere, and I didn't want to immediately go, does that mean I'm back on? Because, you know, I didn't know what your plans for the future of the sequel cast were going to be.
Sure.
I kind of wanted to let
fair.
You settle. Although, that being said, I had prepared, if you had decided you didn't want to do the sequel cast anymore, I was actually preparing to ask you if I could continue it.
Wow. Fascinating. I didn't know that. Neat.
I was cool. Well, I mean, it never came to that, and I didn't want to mention it prematurely.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow.
That was I love this show so much. That
oh, great.
Was
no, I love it too.
Something I really wanted to do.
That means a lot. Wow. Okay. So, there's two things that weren't handled very well, and some of it might have been my okay, how do I put this? As I was on sequelcast.cascadia.fm, and they had tons of other shows on there, you would start to hear words of shows that were really popular and successful on there suddenly not being on anymore. People just decided, you know, it's time has come. And you started to see shows dropping like flies. And I felt like SequelCast was on a sinking ship. But I didn't know what to do. I thought the show did. Because shortly after SequelCast, shortly after I did the show as a host in the Cascadia FM studios with the Mad Max stuff and all that, Cascadia.fm, their podcast became popular enough that on iTunes, listed Cascadia.fm as kind of like a network. Like it almost was like listing like an album on iTunes, I guess, where you click on Cascadia FM and it shows all these like 24 podcasts that were on there.
Oh, I remember that feed.
Right. Well, when SequelCast was... And that was a big deal for them, and SequelCast was on there, right? So, which was fun for me, too. But that caused an iTunes problem that has never quite been fixed since. But I'll come back to that. That's a technical issue.
All right.
Anyway, these shows were dropping left and right like flies, and I felt nervous. Compounding that, I had a very weird time recording the last episode in their studio, which was on Bourne Ultimatum. And that was because founder of Cascadia.fm, Robert Wagner, was there in the studio just staring at me the whole time. I think in some other show he was saying it's something he did to see if the host really has the goods.
Well,
and
it seems
amazing.
Weird to wait to do that like towards the end of the run.
Yes. And in fact, you know, I showed up on time to do the show and there was arguing inside and Sabrina popped her head out and said, just wait a minute. Just wait a few minutes. We're talking. And shut the door in my face.
Wow.
So I don't know. I would love to know what that conversation was.
Ironically, there was no way to record it.
No. Well, yes. No, they were in a studio with microphones. They could have recorded it.
Wouldn't it be great if that had gone out live?
I wish. If I was a mouse that day, I would squeak up to that room and hear what they talked about for 5 minutes.
House in the crawl space.
House in the crawl space.
Well, I gotta say that last Bourne episode, I really did notice a major difference in the quality of your voice when I heard that episode.
Yeah, it did, you know, because the time that I was in the studio to record and the time I got off work and was able to park downtown, there was like an hour beforehand. And I used to dick around downtown, but then I found out, it's easier for me just to crash in their studio as she records the show beforehand. And what I didn't realize I was doing inadvertently, I realized this when Robert Wagner was watching us do our Bourne Ultimatum show, is even having an extra person in the studio throws the entire energy off.
Yeah.
Even though I was just chilling, reading to Kindle when Sabrina and her friends did their iPhone app show. So I wasn't trying to be invasive, just hanging out in the studio. I just thought it was fun to be around. So maybe that was some of it. I don't know. But anyway, after stuttering and struggling through that Bourne Ultimatum, we picked out what our next franchise was going to be, which would have been the two Fletch movies.
Huh.
And I went home and prepared a whole page of notes and watched Fletch 1 and 2 to kind of get the notes done in advance. I would tend to do that because I would rent the disc from Netflix and then I would give the disc to Sabrina to watch a few weeks before. So also it was a bit different because it had been a while since I'd seen the movie by the time we actually recorded the show.
Yeah, not going in fresh.
Right, not going in as fresh, not going in popping fresh. Ooh. It tickles. And it's
get that
tasty.
Out of there.
What are you doing, TSA agent? Ooh.
Good Lord.
So that Bourne trilogy stuff, you know, at the end of that, it's a, so fast forward, I watch Fletch, I do all the damn notes, right? It's a Sunday. I recorded Sequel Cast on a Monday. Monday
that sounds
morning.
Like a bad day to record a podcast.
Yes. You know, first day back to work and then straight to a podcast downtown through traffic and paying money for parking because it's tough to find parking downtown. Anyway, you know, so I did that. Monday morning, I see an email. It's not even an individual email. It's not a phone call. It's a group email sent out from Robert Wagner to, it was a blinded CC. But they're saying, if you get this email, you host a show that is recorded Monday through Friday from like 4 to 9 p.m. Basically, if you had a day job and were recording a show afterwards during the week, your show is in a holding pattern. There would be more to announce come November.
Oh, well, that's the kiss of death. That's like saying that your comic book is on indefinite hiatus.
Right. William Shatner's Squirrely Time might not get an issue too. Stay tuned, folks. Yeah. So I saw that. I was seeing red. I was kind of mad. I felt I should have at least got a text message or a phone, personal phone call. Or even, I mean, hell, I thought even being part of a internet radio station that recorded in an actual studio, maybe the radio station would have had meetings where all the hosts of the shows would meet once a month for beer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that kind of stuff never happened.
So there was like, no sort of sense of community at Cascadia?
Not that I knew of. I mean, I wasn't one of the top shows. Certainly other people in there were close friends and stuff. But I found it sort of distant in that way and was sort of kind of surprised, I guess. You know, I thought. But anyway, I get this email from Robert Wagner about that, and I was really hurt. And I said, and I wrote an email back and CC'd Sabrina, even though he's like, don't CC anyone else if you respond to this email. And I was like, you know, I'm pulling the Sequel Cast off Cascadia.fm. I'm through. Thanks for the time. It was fun doing this, but I'm going to keep my show going on. And I didn't use any bad language. It was the tone, I think, was might have been overly harsh, possibly. But I was upset. As part of that, to go back to the technical bit about the iTunes stuff, the response I got over Twitter was some email, a two-word email that said, oh, that's easy. They removed me off the Cascadia.fm iTunes listing. However, because my feed was my main, now it's the main, like, Sequel Cast Network master feed, It doesn't show up anymore in iTunes, period, and I can't resubmit it. Because they're like, this already exists, and even contacting people at iTunes, like, they're like, oh, there's nothing we can do about it.
Oh, so that explains that whole, so does that explain that whole period where you found the Sequel Cast on iTunes was constantly in flux?
Yes, and even now it's still kind of weird, you know, with a friend of mine, I've only met him once in person, but Ryan Gallagher, he's the host of the Criterion Cast, on the Criterion, you know what Criterion is, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like the classic movies released by a great remastering company. He taught me how to fiddle with like FeedBurner and RSS feeds to have separate feeds for just Sequel Cast or just a specific show, you know, Sequel Cast special commentary, whatever. And because of that, I have three listings on iTunes, one for Sequel Cast, one for Sequel Commentary, one for Sequel Cast special. For some reason, the video game Sequel Cast one doesn't work, and it's not like all comprehensive. It only lists the most 10 recent episodes. So naturally, in some way, that has cut down on what our total amount of listeners could be, and I've never been able to get that fixed.
There's bound to be a way to fix that, even if it involves constantly harassing iTunes.
You're absolutely right, Thrasher. Yeah.
But yeah, although I would say my main beef with that, though, with the way it's set up, is that, you know, because I just download the episodes directly onto my iPod, but when I go to look them up, I have no idea what feeds I'm looking at because the title, it just shows, you know, the Sequel Cast Network, and then it cuts off before it gets to the actual show title.
That's interesting. I didn't know that because it does it different on the iPhone. Huh.
Yeah, I also have a much older iPod.
That could
iPod.
Be why, then.
It's
how
entirely
it does,
possible
yeah.
that this is something that more recent versions don't have.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but I think as far as the worst times or the most trying sort of weird times, I would say that was it. And I mean, I thought I would have got a call or something from Sabrina, my co-host, for, geez, it would have been, 11 episodes, I guess. And absolutely nothing, just sort of like a vague Twitter message that says, like, what the hell? Yeah, I felt hurt.
Well, do you have anything you would consider a triumph with your time with Cascadia?
I'm really happy. I'm the happiest with the two Basic Instinct episodes.
Yeah.
The first one, Robert Wagner was a guest. He's great. He loves that film. He was supposed to be on for Basic Instinct 2, but that he just couldn't make it.
Yeah, I guess those two episodes are probably like the closest the Cascadia episodes come to being like what we still do today.
I don't know if it was like the tawdriness of it or Sharon Stone, or that I opened the Basic Instinct 2 episode quoting Sharon Stone saying, like, I want you to come in my mouth. Welcome to the sequel cast.
You know, that's actually something I do kind of miss is sequel cast theater, when we would read excerpts from a script. Although I think what we should do, if we revive it, it shouldn't be us competing to see who does the best impression. It should just be us doing a dramatic reading of the most embarrassing scene of the movie.
That could be. It just reminds me a bit of, there's another podcast, film podcast that's been on for a long time called Film Spotting. That's it.
Ah, cool.
They have a thing called Massacre Theater, where they do a scene, but they don't tell you what movie it's from.
Oh.
And then you have to go in and say, people put in, submit guesses as to what movie their scene was from, and they take out the character names from the dialogue. And then the winner, I think, gets a free movie or something.
That's cool. Very cool.
And you might be wondering, too, well, why did I do, even though I was hosting a studio, why did I still do three sequel cast special episodes? And that's because just sometimes the studio wasn't available. Like, the air conditioner was being fixed, and that took weeks.
So you mentioned that the studio wasn't so much a studio as it was a room in a guy's apartment. Can you describe that space?
Sure. So close your eyes, listeners, so you get a better mind's eye.
Oh, yes.
You walk in. On the left is a movie poster for the cult film, The Stuff. On the right is a kitchen with usually a cat or two crawling around trying to eat potato chips. To walk a little bit forward to the left is the bathroom, and presumably the bedroom was somewhere there. I don't know, but it's an apartment. It has to have a bedroom. So, and then you have the big kind of open living area, which had one table, two tables put together like a T shape, right?
Right.
So the one
T for table.
T for a table. So the one that was the top part of the T, the shorter horizontal part, had the soundboards daisy chained into each other, hooked up to a laptop running Pro Tools. And wires.
That was pretty pornographic.
Yeah, wires snaking all over the place. But really good quality equipment. I think recently Robert Wagner did some post on his blog at Fantastic Disaster. I think it's .com or .us. It's something like that. He said that all that equipment was like $10,000 worth of equipment. And now he does his podcasting with the high quality USB mic plugged into a dongle, plugged into his phone. And it sounds great. So it shows how much more portable technology has come since even 2011, and how much more affordable too, So there's that. And then you get like the big area of, the big bottom part of the T, and that's where all the chairs were kind of focused around. And you had all the microphones were hooked up to the flexible snake, things. And you had really nice headphones as well. And there was a mixing board and stuff on the far end by the computer. So Sabrina would sit behind, get the mixing board tweaked, sit over there, and then I would sit kind of catty corner. So I'd kind of have to, I was sort of always facing her, even though it was kind of a decent distance between us.
And do you think that was conducive to recording these podcast episodes?
I wish there would have been some soundproofing. I wish the studio would have been a smaller room. But I mean, it was like a one bedroom apartment though, man. Like, I'm not really sure.
Like listening to those old episodes, it did always sound like you guys were just like crammed together in a little glass box doing all your recording.
Yeah, I mean, the acoustics, we certainly were in, like, our T-shirts while recording, sweating our balls off because we had the air conditioner off because it made noise and didn't work, and it was, like, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon during the summer. Dripping sweat on the top floor of this, like, apartment.
Well, when this when your period with Cascadia ended, had you considered just ending the sequel cast? I mean, what when this was happening, what were your feelings about the future of the show?
I was a bit intimidated that, and was frankly kind of embarrassed that I'd have to come crawling back, begging you guys to be in the show, knowing full well your response might be, "Piss off, Matt, piss off."
Wow, you really thought we might react that way?
I always, there's a Mel Brooks film, The 12 Chairs, where it has an opening number called Hope for the Best, Expect the Worst. I kind of have that thought in the back of my head constantly. I'm always thinking, what's the worst case scenario that likely will never happen? Is an alien going to come out of my toilet and rip off my kneecap as I'm recording this? Oh my God, it's an alien.
Are you recording in your restroom?
What are you doing, alien? No. No. It's my kneecap. Okay. He choked on my kneecap. There was too much cartilage in the way. He just caught. That was his final cough. Death cough.
Yeah, his death cough.
That sounds like an asylum picture. Death cough.
The cough of death.
Death cough. Copyright the cough us. Of death. Breen, breen, breen. Okay. But go on, Thrasher.
Well, I was going to say, because I freely admit that that I thought that if the show was going to continue, I was actually a bit apprehensive that you might want to continue it, but still might not want to continue it with us, that you might have a whole other direction you might have wanted to take the show in.
No. But, you know, the closest I ever came to canceling the sequel cast was right before I learned, it was after we did that last Indiana Jones episode. And I was at a time in my life where I had just been fired from my job. I had been unemployed for 3 or 4 months. I really needed to find a job. And I was really stressed out, and I was wondering, is a podcast the best use of my time? Who cares? Does anyone even listen? Because I wish I had started the Facebook page earlier, that's for sure, because that's where you get most of our fan contact from. But I don't know, you put, a podcast is a lot of work that you don't really make any money doing, or if you do, like, it covers a fraction of the bills.
Well, you know, it is, but it is, for at least, you know, for us, it is kind of more of a hobby thing, but I like to think that we, or at least I do benefit. I mean, it does give me an opportunity to plug various books I've worked on, such as The Jester Dragon's Guide to Defects, available on drivethroughrpg.com. But I mean, I like to think that we do benefit from this, even if it means kind of, you know, connecting with a community of listeners, or, you know, being able to promote things that we're working on, you know, being able to share some amount of ourselves with the world at large.
Right, no, and we've built a greater audience, and with Battleship Retention, we have a greater audience still, and I got a very nice tweet the other day saying, oh, I love your show, what's up with your RSS feed, and I pointed him towards the right RSS feed to subscribe to all the SequelCast Network shows.
When the original crew got back together, what made you decide to go after Back to the Future? Was that just a return to form, or?
Return to form, I mean, it's one of those classics that we had talked about doing before. And I thought it's just kind of hilarious that it was fitting. You know, we were going, it was almost like we were time traveling back, pretending like Cascadia.fm never happened.
Which I think the sketch.
Which we did as the sketch. Yeah.
At the beginning of that episode, I think we even had talked about doing a much more elaborate version where we like erased Cascadia from history.
The SequelCast Network fans love that sketch.
Will, that you? Is it you? It is you. What are you doing here?
Well, yes, but there's no time for that now. The time continuum has been disrupted, creating this new temporal event sequence resulting in this alternate reality.
Huh?
Imagine this line represents June 2011, the date when you fired Jason, BJ, and myself as co-hosts of the sequel cast to host the show with Sabrina on Cascadia FM. Now, somewhere around this point in time, the timeline skewed into this tangent, creating an alternate reality that we will call June 2011A.
What does this all mean?
While you were recording the sequel cast in a studio downtown, Jason, BJ, and I, and myself, were stuck in June 2011A with nothing to do outside of time, waiting for you to return. When you do return, it will be as if the sequel cast had never changed. You must come with me back into the DeLorean and drive back to the alternate original point of June 2011A in the timeline to continue your sequel cast with BJ, Jason, and myself, your show that reviews movies.
Movies in a franchise, one at a time.
Precisely.
What if I don't want an alternate reality? What if
I'm afraid your fate is being sealed. Fans are clamoring for the group together. Are you with me?
Well, that's cool.
And I do want to touch on one last thing. We're running out of time here. So we got a lot of feedback once SequelCast made the switch and I was hosting the show with Sabrina instead of you, Jason, and BJ. And a lot of people hated it. Some people thought it was better. But everyone realized it was different.
Oh, yeah.
And there's some good things I think I took away from Cascadia.fm.
Like what?
I thought you'd never ask.
Well, then I won't.
Oh, damn it. Tune in next time. No.
No. Continue, please.
I think it inspired me to eventually do like more segments on the show besides just talking about just the movie for an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Because even though we didn't really do segments with Sabrina on the Cascadia.fm show, just made me think of regular radio shows. And I know podcasting isn't radio, but there's something nice in roughly sticking to a schedule and spending roughly like 30 minutes talking about the film. And then we do pitch a sequel, which has been a lot of fun. And then you do the sequel news, which is a newer segment. And then what you're watching. You know, it just makes it feel complete. Makes there be more variety in there. And you don't have to stretch the talk of the movie, which I like doing, out to a full hour, which admittedly is hard.
Well, it depends on the movie.
It does. But when you get to like part 3 and 4 of a franchise, I mean, come on.
It's sometimes it should just be us screaming and banging our heads against the wall.
I hope you enjoyed the sequel cast special, ostensibly about the
Cascadia.fm
interim period, the Cascadia FM years. So for more SequelCast special shows and to check out the rest of the SequelCast network, go to SequelCast.com and support the show by donating via PayPal at SequelCast.com/donate.
Or using our Amazon affiliate links.
Exactly. And you can catch all the SequelCast network shows on Stitcher. Get the app Stitcher.com/SequelCast. For the SequelCast special, this is Matt.
And this is Will at, or Thrasher, Will Thrasher at Internet Mayor.
Saying SSSSEQQQUUUUEELLL sequel cast. So I saw this film that was really something amazing. Yes, it was. Oh, was it? Indeed.
Sequel cast special is a hipster goblin production.